Let's pray. Father, it's true. We come to you with nothing in our hands to bring. We have nothing of ourselves but sin and lawlessness, and we need to be cleansed by you. All we have is Christ, and we thank you, Father, for your provision for us in him, that you sent him to bear the weight of our sin, because we could never do it, Father, and to live righteously on our behalf, because we could never do it, Father. Would you be very near to us tonight? Would you pour out your Spirit upon us in power? Would you speak to us, please? And would you give us faith and repentance and power, Father, to be faithful witnesses to Jesus on a campus that is lost and dying and desperately in need of Jesus Christ? Help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. We'll begin reading in verse 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. All these, with one accord, were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. All right, now somebody help me out. Last week we had our introduction to the book of Acts, and what did we talk about? A lot of things, I know. What did we focus on, yeah, Paul? With the title. Okay, we started with the title. I was like, what's he talking about? The Acts of the Apostles is what we call the book, right? We questioned that. And we talked about how some people want to say we should call this the Acts of the Holy Spirit. It's true that it's following the apostles in the early church, but it's really the work of the Holy Spirit. And then we talked about what Luke says at the very, very beginning. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach. He's talking about the Gospel of Luke. He said, I talked about all that Jesus began to do and teach. Not all that Jesus did and taught, but simply what he began to do and to teach. And so in many ways, the Acts of the Apostles, the book of Acts, is a continued record of what Jesus did and taught. It's volume 2 of what Jesus did and taught. Okay? And Jesus is still working and doing from heaven. Okay, so we spent a lot of time focusing on that last week. And so this week, we're going to move forward, and we're going to begin looking at verse 4. While staying with them, remember Jesus has been with them for 40 days. This is a really exciting and strange time. Jesus has been resurrected from the dead. He's walking on earth, resurrected from the dead, and he's there for 40 days, and he's teaching the disciples about the kingdom of God, which is nothing new. It's all that Jesus ever taught was about the kingdom of God. When Jesus first begins teaching and preaching, the record that we have is that he began by saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Right? So Jesus has always been teaching about the kingdom of God for 3 years. So it only makes sense that these 40 days, that's what he's been teaching them about. While staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So, first question we want to answer tonight is this: what is this baptism of the Holy Spirit? How's that for a fun question? What is this baptism of the Holy Spirit? It's important. This idea, John baptized with water, I will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Very, very important phrase repeated throughout the Gospels and repeated throughout Acts. See it come up again when we get to Acts chapter 11. Okay? John baptizes with water. John himself says, "I baptize with water. There's one coming who will baptize you with fire, with the Holy Spirit." Okay? So what is this baptism of the Holy Spirit that we're talking about? Okay, we got an answer. Okay, yes. We are talking about Pentecost. Thank you very much. Absolutely, we are talking about Pentecost. That is what we're looking forward. Okay? That's what we're looking forward to, and we'll see that happen when it comes. Why don't you turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4. Okay? And by four, I mean three. All right, this is John the Baptist preparing the way. All right, John the Baptist preparing the way. He's baptizing, beginning in verse 11, he says this: "I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." This is exactly what we're talking about in Acts chapter 1, right? This is what Jesus is quoting, referencing. "His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." So what's happening? John has begun preaching. And all of Jerusalem and Judea is coming out to John to be baptized. John's preaching the good news of repentance. He's fulfilling long foretold prophecies of preparing the way for the anointed, for the Messiah. They're coming out to him. They're being baptized. They're coming out to him. He's baptizing them with a baptism of water. All of the sons of Israel coming out to John to be baptized. And he's saying to them, "There's one who's coming. I'm baptizing you with water. There's one who's coming who's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit." And then we see this: "Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?' But Jesus answered him, 'Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness.' Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased.'" Jesus is baptized with water, and the heavens are opened, and the Holy Spirit descends upon him in a very real, powerful, invisible way. And this is when things start happening, right? Jesus has lived on earth for 30 years. He's been an obscure carpenter, okay? He comes to be baptized by John. He's baptized with water, and then he is anointed by the Holy Spirit as the prophet, priest, and king, the Messiah, the one who was foretold. God himself, the only begotten Son of God, the creator of all things, anointed with power. And so what happens immediately, Jesus is taken into the wilderness, led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He goes, he triumphs over Satan, he wins, and then he begins preaching and teaching and healing and performing miracles with all power. He is anointed and declared king, Father, Son, Holy Spirit together. The Father speaks from heaven, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." The Spirit descends on him. There is an anointing of power that comes upon Christ, and his ministry explodes. He begins performing signs and wonders. He begins preaching. And he is led by the Spirit. Though he is God himself, he is empowered and led by the Holy Spirit. The Gospels make this very, very clear. Luke especially makes it clear. Throughout the Old Testament, we see this kind of thing happen where God sets somebody apart to be king or to be a priest. And there's an anointing that takes place where they're set aside for service. And the Holy Spirit will come upon them. So when Saul is anointed king, it says in 1 Samuel, the Holy Spirit came upon Saul to do the work, to fulfill the office, to be empowered to fulfill his work as king. And the same thing happened to King David. The same thing happened to Aaron and his sons. You see the same language, okay? When Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit, he was filled with power to do the work he was called to do. A very similar thing is what we're talking about here in Acts. This is a parallel passage, okay? The Holy Spirit is going to come and descend upon the new covenant community, setting them apart to be a royal priesthood. Kingdom of priests, setting us apart. And that's what's going to happen at Pentecost. There's an anointing that's coming of power for the work at hand. Now notice, by the way, that this work is not tied to water baptism. Not tied to the act. The apostles were baptized with water long before this happened. They're baptized by John, and they themselves were baptizing. Many of the sons of Israel, of the covenant people of God, had already been baptized before this happens. And then we see later on in Acts, when we come to Acts 11, we'll see that Cornelius and many Gentiles are baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then that's the reason why Peter says, well, we can't withhold water baptism from them if they've been baptized with the Holy Spirit, right? This isn't tied to water baptism. This is a work of the Holy Spirit in men's hearts. Okay? This is a setting apart of the new covenant community of God as a royal priesthood empowered. And then we see the same things begin to happen in the New Testament church that happened when Jesus began his ministry. Preaching in power, signs, wonders, miraculous deeds. Jesus said, when the Spirit comes upon you, you will do greater works than me. This is what happens. This is what we'll see as we go through the book of Acts, okay? Now, Jesus says this, and then we see a kind of natural question arise among the disciples. They come together and they ask Jesus, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? That's a natural question. You may not think it's a natural question because you may have been trained to believe that this was just really a stupid thing for them to ask. Like, duh, here are the disciples being dumb again. And it's true, but it may not be true the way that you think it is. Because one of the things that Jesus doesn't do that you may want him to do is to say, you stupid idiots, the kingdom's not going to be restored to Israel. He doesn't say that. He says, it's not for you to know when. Lord, they ask, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? This makes sense. It makes sense because they're about to be anointed as a royal priesthood. They've been excited and looking forward to this coming kingdom. They have been Jesus's right-hand men. They know this is going to come. It's prophesied throughout the Old Testament that the kingdom will be restored to Israel. And it would have been a really sweet deal for it to just happen like that. It would have been a really, really sweet deal for it to just happen like that. Yes, as a matter of fact, I am. Let's reign. It would have been easy. And we're always asking the same kinds of questions. We're asking, when does it get easy, right? When does it get easy? When does it get easy? We want a sure promise of fruit. We want to know timing. We want to have things figured out. Like the disciples did. It's like, okay, I get it. The kingdom's coming. Here it is. Jesus is among us. He's been raised from the dead. He's saying we're going to be anointed with power, baptized by the Holy Spirit. I remember what happened when Jesus was baptized by the Holy Spirit. We're going to reign. And he says, it's not for you to speculate. It's not for you to speculate. It's for you to work. It's not the when that you're to be concerned with, but the how. Jesus' response is, it's not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. What is it that you need to know? You don't need to know when. You need to know that what we're talking about here is heavenly power, not earthly power. What you need to know is that it is power for you to be faithful witnesses. Witnesses, Greek word, martyr. Faithful witnesses to the ends of the earth. In other words, there are no crowns without crosses. There are no triumphs without battles. There are no wages without work. There is no fruit without the plow. It's very, very easy for us, and you see this when you look at modern evangelicalism. You see a preoccupation with questions about the future, a preoccupation with the question of eschatology, the study of the end times, a preoccupation with wanting to see results and immediate fruit. And Jesus says, forget all of that. Forget all of that. Work. It's not for you to know that. You're going to receive power. This is what you need to know. You're going to receive power. Power to do what? The Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria to the end of the earth. You don't need a timetable. You need to know what to do. You need to know what your job is and how it's going to be accomplished. What's your job? To be witnesses to the ends of the earth. How's it going to happen? By the power of the Holy Spirit. So, Jesus says, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit's come upon you. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. The disciples are standing there, and then we see this thing happen. When he said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. Another explanation of what's happened. He just says it, and then there he goes. And they're all left standing there like, what? Whoa. While they were gazing into heaven, you can imagine, as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? Because he just went. He was here. He was talking to us. And then he was gone. And then the angels, he's taken up from you into heaven. He will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. We've talked about that a lot already in previous weeks. Not just in this series, but the series before. What were the angels doing? They're rebuking them. They're saying, hey, get your eye on the ball and obey. We're always twiddling our thumbs. We're always in need of exhortation to work. The command was clear. The commands are always clear. And we always want to find something to distract us. Let's get out our prophecy charts and figure out when the end's going to be. Let's wrap ourselves up in silly theological questions. And you see twice in this passage, rebukes. Let's stare off into heaven. Rebukes for idleness, for laziness, for trying to peer into things that God has not revealed, when God has revealed to us what to do. What were they to do? They're to go back to Jerusalem and they were to wait. They were to hurry up and wait. Hurry up and wait for power from on high. So that they could be faithful witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Task was clear. Job was clear. Job for you and me is clear. So they went back to Jerusalem. They gathered together, and it says, with one accord, they were devoting themselves to prayer. The disciples, the apostles, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus and his brothers. All together, everybody who believed, not just the men and the women together, devoting themselves to prayer. As they waited for power from on high. No idleness here anymore. Task is clear. They're going to be anointed with power from on high. They're going to be set on fire. And they are going to begin to be faithful witnesses to Christ to the ends of the earth. Their job now is to wait. So they come together. And they don't sit around twiddling their thumbs. They devote themselves to prayer. Our task is clear. We are to be witnesses to the ends of the earth. And guess what? We're there. This is the ends of the earth. Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, Judas, the son of James, all these had no idea that there was even a continent over here. Here we are. We're at the ends of the earth. And men and women from the ends of the earth have come here to Bloomington, to this campus. I'm going to keep saying it every single week, over and over and over and over and over again. We are here, you are here on this campus to be faithful witnesses to Jesus Christ. That's it, to the end of the earth. What a faithful witness here and now where God has called you. And so we need to be devoted to prayer like the apostles were and the women and Mary and Jesus' brothers. Devoted to prayer for what? Here's a question. Devoted to prayer for fruitfulness or faithfulness? And Nisha's giving me a look and she's saying that you can't set those two up against each other. Right? That's what she's saying. But I'm doing it for a reason. And it's this. You and I need to be very careful in our prayers for fruitfulness that we're not being like the disciples staring into heaven. Fruitfulness comes by means of faithfulness. You and I need to be very careful that we're not like the disciples saying, are you going to restore the kingdom? Are you going to bring the kingdom now? Go ahead, please, bring the kingdom now. Here we are. We're waiting. Just like fill these seats. Here we are. That's not how the kingdom comes. That's laziness and faithlessness. Faithful prayer prays for faithfulness because fruitfulness comes by means of faithfulness. How does the kingdom come? When his disciples are faithful witnesses to the ends of the earth. You want fruitfulness, don't sit around and pray for fruitfulness. Pray for faithfulness. Pray to be faithful witnesses. And then don't sit around and say, okay, make me a faithful witness. Well, I don't feel faithful yet. I'm going to go sit in my room until I feel faithful. Act. Be faithful. And look to God to give you the power to be faithful. Power from on high. That's what we need. That's the only way that we will be faithful witnesses. Whenever we see the Holy Spirit come upon the early church, they immediately leave and go out testifying to what Christ has done. And they do things that get them in trouble. Thrown in prison. And we find all kinds of excuses, all kinds of ways to get out of being faithful. And we use fruitfulness as a cover for ourselves. Well, shoot, if I go out and do that, then I'm going to like alienate people. It'll be bad and then people won't come. Where? What people? What people are coming right now? Nobody's coming until you light yourself on fire. Nobody's coming until you're faithful, until you are a faithful witness where God has called you, on your floor, in your classrooms, in the cafeterias. Nobody will come. There will be no fruitfulness. There will be no fruitfulness until there's faithfulness. There will be no faithfulness without power from on high. Pray. 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 And then act in faith, trusting that what God wants is faithfulness. What God gives is faithfulness. What God desires to give is faithfulness. So that there can be fruitfulness. Keep your eye on the ball. Faithfulness. Faithfulness. Faithfulness to the point of death. faithfulness in the face of suffering. We don't set our hope on the kingdom coming in power, on souls being saved, in order to think, man, that's going to be easy whenever God zaps it into place. That's what I want, zap. We set our hope on the kingdom to come, on the promises that God desires to save many. And then we look at the means, which look exactly the opposite of that, which is us going and laying down our lives, being faithful witnesses, faithful martyrs. Suffering so that others can see the suffering of Christ in us. Bearing the humiliation and reproach and shame of the cross so that others will see and live. Dying so that others may see and live. Man, 300 years of the early church is dying. Dying everywhere. The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church, said Tertullian, I think. Right, Josh? Blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. Faithful witnesses bears great fruit. I'm not telling you to go out and find a way to die. I'm just telling you to go out and be faithful and understand that this is what comes with it, is suffering and persecution. It may not look like Stephen being stoned, or like that glorious graphic art that we have of the stoning of Stephen and blood splattered all over the book of Acts. You know, it may not look like that. That should only shame you. What's it likely to look like for you? You can get made fun of? Oh. Wow. Sticks and stones are what the apostles got. And whips in prison. God blessed it with fruitfulness. But here's the deal. Don't worry about it. Think about it. Be faithful. Pray for faithfulness. Pray for the Holy Spirit to fall on us and give us power. Devote yourselves to prayer. Stop with fruitless speculations. Renew your commitment to humble obedience. Humble, simple obedience. Humble, simple obedience. The fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit, that's like children's stuff. Oh, really? That's why I see you abounding in it. Right, check, move on to bigger things. You're so fruitful. Humble, simple obedience. Love, joy, peace, patience. Ask for the Holy Spirit's power. Beg and plead for the Holy Spirit's power to make us faithful witnesses and act. Be faithful. I'm not saying go out into the cafeteria and stand up on a table with a bullhorn. I'm just saying be faithful. Little things, baby steps. Little things, baby steps. Love for your neighbor. Love enough to tell them about their soul. Love enough to call them to repentance and faith. You're not apostles, that's okay. You're not the Apostle Paul, that's okay. You don't have to be. You have to be faithful with the gifts God's given you. You have to be faithful with the opportunities God's given you and the relationships that God's given you. By the grace of God, you and I are what we are. Our job is to lay hold of the kingdom ourselves. Lay hold of the kingdom ourselves. To bring as many people with us as we can. Jesus reigns from heaven. Jesus is working. He's building up his church. He's still giving gifts to men. He's still sending his Holy Spirit upon his church. He's still leading and guiding and giving power for faithful witness. He still longs to do it. He still wants to do it. It still pleases him to do it. Do you want it? Are you content playing a shell game and pretending? I don't want to pretend. Nobody here wants to pretend, right? Nobody here wants to pretend. We don't want to play games with ourselves. We don't want to play church. We don't want to play college group. We don't want to play safe, simple, you know, safe social club. We want to be faithful witnesses to the one who has saved us from our sins, called us out of darkness and into light, and called us to take up our crosses and follow after him. That's what we want. Let's pray. Father, we do pray that you would give us faithfulness, that you would make us faithful witnesses to Christ. Witnesses to your power, your glory, your work in us. Witnesses to the power of your Holy Spirit to change our lives, turn us around. Witnesses to what Jesus has done and what Jesus is doing. Father, make us faithful and make us fruitful, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.